I have an addiction. It's a common one. It sort of runs in my family. It's a good way to connect with people, share stories. You step outside, you take it out, you just relax for a bit, you know? You could do it anywhere. You could do it in the bathroom in the morning. You sneak it out during a nice dinner at a restaurant. No one even notices. You even do it around the kids now, man. My daughter, she's 4. She's like, "Daddy, why are you always doing this? Does it feel good?" I said, "Yeah, sweetie, it feels real good." She's like, "I can't wait until I can do that too." And I said, "Whoa, whoa. Not until you're at least 15, sweetie." I'm not gonna lie, I let her try it a couple times. Matter of fact, I'm gonna take one out right now. Oh yeah, that's the stuff. Pull to refresh. Oh, that hits the spot. I even tried getting myself addicted to cigarettes because I'm 36 and I need a hobby. I mean, have you tried learning piano at this age? I'm 5 years in. I thought I'd be able to play Claire de Lune by now and impress my wife's friends when they come over. They heard me play, man. They're like, "Has he considered cigarettes?" Now, I'm a YouTuber. I know. I know. I used to be a software developer, but AI took my job. I've already been through the 5 stages of grief. I'm at acceptance now. And being a YouTuber means the numbers own you. There's an app. YouTube gives you this app that shows you your worth as a human being in real time. Casinos are not allowed to do what this app does, man. A casino legally has to let you leave. This app comes home with you. Every time I refresh, some number changes. Some new comment pops up and tells me I look like Rasputin. It got to the point where 10% of my job was creating content and the other 90% was just refreshing shit. I was a professional refresher. I started to lose my fucking mind. I was up at 2 a.m. Googling weird shit on my phone. I was like, "Who is Rasputin?" Rasputin was a Russian mystic who was close to the emperor. I was like, "Okay, damn, well, that doesn't sound bad at all." Rasputin had many assassination attempts, surviving poisoning, drowning, and being shot. He was finally shot point blank 3 times in the head. I lost it, man. I fucking lost it. I went to the bathroom, plugged in my clipper, and put it to my beard. I was like, do it, you son of a bitch, do it." Needless to say, I hit rock bottom soon after, which actually is my favorite part of the depression cycle. There's a strange comfort in knowing you can't fuck up any more than this. I knew where I needed to start. This fucking phone. Yes, the phone would need to go. But if I told my family I was going phoneless, they would put me on fucking suicide watch. My mom would come over with a home-cooked meal and try to nurse me back to health. So I did what any healthy adult does. I faked my phone's death. First, I drained the fucker of its soul. I played YouTube at maximum brightness on 5G until it overheated itself to death. It died doing what it loved, killing me. Step two, I texted my friends and family from my wife's phone. I was like, "Hey guys, it's me. I lost my phone. Please send your shitty Instagram post, which I already saw on X 3 months ago, to my wife, who will describe the content to me against my will while we are driving." Step three, solve all my problems, right? Everything was going great. I felt light. I felt free. It was the dawn of a new era. But my brain had other plans. The first morning phone free was super bizarre, man. I had a dream where I wake up in my normal world, reach for my phone, open X, and just start scrolling. And my brain was like happy about this. It was at home. Then I really wake up and I'm like, "What the fuck, brain? You fucking sicko? Is this really a freaking addiction? Does my brain think my phone is a drug?" The next few days were rough. My digestive health took a turn. When's the last time you took a shit without your phone? Content and caffeine, man, it can't be done without it. So I was like, "Fuck it, let's grab a book." And you know, the fucking autobiography of Winston Churchill just wasn't gonna cut it right now. So I grab what is, for some reason, the only fiction book on our shelf. Gone Girl. It's my wife's. It was painful, man. Trying to wade through the writer's masturbatory writing about the waft of the oak trees and leaves ruffling and the sun sweltering and the broad-shouldered characters. What the fuck is a broad shoulder? I have never in my life looked at a man and thought, "Wow, now there's a broad shoulder." No one has. It's a lie writers tell each other. But then something strange started to happen. 4 days into my sobriety, 4 days into this phone-free world where there is literally nothing else to do but read Gone Girl, and I'm like invested now. Like, where the fuck is Amy? Did Nick kill her, that broad-shouldered douchebag? I haven't been this invested in the case of a missing white girl since Nancy Grace came on the air. Started evangelizing my new religion to the first person I always evangelize my new, totally serious, totally for real this time new religion to. I'm like, "Honey, honey, you gotta try this. Books." She doesn't even look up. She's like, you've been lying on the couch for 6 hours, reading a book about something that never happened. How is this making your life any better than being on your phone? I get all cocky and shit. I'm like, honey, you wouldn't understand, okay? Us book readers, we're exercising our brains when we read. You're on Instagram being a bystander to light waves. Light is just hitting you. You're a wall. Me, I'm generating worlds. I'm on a bike. You're in an Uber. She rolls her eyes and reminds me I need to fix her bike chain. I haven't fixed the bike chain yet, man. It can wait. I'm on a literary journey. I was like, shit, I wonder if I could tolerate other boring activities now. It's like a guy bit by a spider wondering if he has spidey senses now. I sat down to do something I loved but hated doing, which is writing. And without my phone, without the nagging feeling of needing to check something constantly, I sat down writing from 8:30 p.m. to midnight. I had never done that before. I didn't even know that was possible. I was watching a podcast a few weeks ago. I forget which one. It may have been Rogan. But honestly, it could be any podcast because everyone says the same thing. One guy will say, you know, back in the 90s, life used to be simple. We didn't have all these addictions and social media mental health problems. You had some technology, but it wasn't like an IV injected straight into your bloodstream. And the other guy, trying to be progressive and smart, says, nah, man, that's just nostalgia. Life is actually way better now. He'll give some stat on how standard of living and quality of life is way higher now. How people are more informed, more connected, more in sync now. And how this is all super vital to a well-functioning democracy. And the first guy just gives up. He's like, yeah, you know, you're probably right. Tech companies will do their annual keynotes about the magic of their technology, the way it brings people together. What they don't show, what they'll never show, is the addiction. The zombies it creates. The cigarette that hits in the moment but kills you slowly. The thing that is absolutely, definitely, 100% ruining your life. At least cigarettes are honest. At least cigarettes put it on the box. My daughter, she likes to watch Bluey, Peppa Pig, Doc McStuffins. Always asking me, Daddy, can I watch? And every time we say no, she's like, but I'm so bored. I get down on her level. I'm like, sweetie, when you watch, you're just a bystander to physics. You want to be pedaling a bicycle, not being a passenger in an Uber. She's like, fine, give me a cigarette then. That's my girl. One thing that has enabled this addiction epidemic is big tech's ability to study your every move. They find out your habits, then design products to circumvent your brain's safeguards against addiction and dependence. In technology's darkest hour, there is a team of people who do things that respect the human experience, and that's the team behind Proton Mail. Proton Mail is encrypted, which means no one but you has the keys to read your thoughts. I'm a big proponent of encrypted tools because they allow you to think freely and fearlessly. I use Proton's entire suite of products, including email, docs, password manager, drive, and VPN, and it's easily one of the best deals in all of software. You can easily switch from Gmail and other email providers using Proton's Easy Switch feature, which lets you import your old emails and continue sending and receiving emails from your Gmail address without ever leaving Proton. I highly recommend giving it a try. You will not regret it. You can sign up using my link in the description. My thanks to Proton for sponsoring this video.